Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, it is a rainy Tuesday in the nation's capital and beyond, perhaps, depending on where you might live and be listening, always live and free on the Odyssey app. But you know what? It's not a rainy day. It's sunshine in our mind when the Commandalorians are once again in exclusive position of first place in the NFC East and 3-1 at the sort of quarter pole, as we mentioned yesterday. So we will keep the sunshine, even though there hasn't been a lick of sun for basically 6.5 out of the last 7 days. And with that, speaking of sunshine, we welcome in Super Bowl champion and our pal, the host of Burgundy and Gold Game Day Postgame. His name is actually on the show, which annoys some people when their name isn't on the show. See, I'm starting already.
What do you mean?
Such a jerk.
First of all, I am oxygen.
Yeah.
So rain is one thing, but you need oxygen. I provide oxygen.
Yeah, you provide a lot more than just oxygen.
And that's all we need.
It's good to see you, first of all.
It's good to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to be seen.
I love your sweatshirt. I'm going to take a picture if you're going to let me during the next break. I mean, it's a great.
Well, it's an honor. Every day, we lose people. We lose loved ones.
Yeah.
And the sports community, this was a double hit. But Rose and then Mutombo. And I thought of Coach, and I, you know, in honor of the great Hoya. And I guess the thing we all shall pass, but I think the age in it, anybody in the 50s, I think is somewhat becomes somewhat alarming. But a guy who was, when you say effervescent, whose personality was so big with the voice to match it and the smile and the humanitarian efforts he put forth. And then Lori Michael, the great trainer, double hit for Hoya Nation. It's just legacy people, champions, people who gave back. And it really is, and I keep trying to say it, to celebrate someone's life rather than to mourn the death is important. And I'm glad that we have the format to be able to give honor to it, and this is just part of the personal tribute.
You know, I was thinking about last night, and we announced the Dikembe Mutombo news, you know, on the air after the NBA had announced it, and we, you know, because it was a Monday, and everybody was elated over the Commanders' win, we couldn't really spend a lot of time on it. But then late last night after the Monday night games, I was reading a column, I think by Mark Spears, longtime NBA writer.
Yeah, and good man.
I don't know Mark personally. I mean, I've interviewed him a couple of times, but I think he wrote it. And Jason Reed had commented on it, so it showed up on my timeline and so on and so forth. And, you know, I knew, obviously, the Georgetown connection. Everybody understands that, and of course, the connection with Coach Thompson. So I was thinking, you know, we were going to be able to talk about a little bit today, and I didn't know what exactly your relationship was, if you had any, with Dikembe Mutombo, but I presume that you had at least met him and talked to him at some point, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that, and then I was reading this column, again, I think by Spears, and he was mentioning, and this should tell you everything about Dikembe Mutombo, right? He grew up in a war-riddled town and country, and there was constant conflict and really, really, really bad danger. And his father passed. And this was before former NBA commissioner David Stern passed, mm-hmm. right? When David Stern was still the commissioner of the NBA. And story goes on to be that Dikembe was just, you know, kind of at a loss. You know, you're emotionally mourning your dad. Your country is war-torn. It's completely unsafe, what have you. And he was mentioning this to David Stern. And I guess David Stern, because of Dikembe's place in the world, not only in the NBA, in the world, and because David Stern had fostered, I guess, some good relations and the NBA was truly a global brand and had done a lot to help less fortunate people, right? He said, I don't know how to honor my dad. I can't have a funeral. Like, this is too dangerous. And David Stern, on behalf of Dikembe Mutombo, according to this story, made a couple of calls. I don't know how exactly it went down, and got a ceasefire, a temporary ceasefire for like 6 hours so that they could properly honor Dikembe Mutombo's father.
This is awesome.
And I think allowed Dikembe Mutombo's brother to travel in for the service mm-hmm. and the ceremony to honor, again, father.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be fascinating and amazing, and everything, you know, about the humanitarian that Dikembe Mutombo was, that the spirit, if you will, he was more than just a great defensive player with a no, you know, and the finger wag and all that, and the commercials and all that stuff. He was truly one of a kind, right?
Great team player, yeah.
Yeah, and in some ways, he... Not completely, but in some ways he was Washington, D.C.'s own, right? From the lineage and the connection to Coach Thompson and George.
And the hospitals, that, I mean, to put that much effort into building a hospital
mm-hmm.
and to being that committed to it, and it wasn't just talk, it wasn't a promotional deal, it was a real commitment
mm-hmm.
Towards that. And just being a nice person. And to see him at a Hoya game and that smile on his face, you know, when his son played there and, you know, Dikembe would be there, and to see him and coach, it was always good seeing these giants being so meek and so mild-mannered with John. And it was great. So, you know, a life of giving, and as a player, how competitive he was, and it just... And again, at age 50, I talked to Tank Johnson this morning. And you know, like what CJ said, it's 58.
Yeah.
Think of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a toddler.
7 years from where I am.
Yeah, I mean, know? 58.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. So it's – and then Pete, and then seeing Charlie Hustle, man. And that's one that to have witnessed – And then see DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think of how many iconic players that you've actually been alive to witness their careers as opposed to just heard about them. I'd have loved to have seen Babe Ruth. You know, I really loved to have seen Bob Feller pitch.
Did I ever tell you my story about Bob Feller?
No. You come on.
So I didn't see him pitch.
I was about to say, if he pulled that off. Okay, all right.
I do have a great...
I was going to moonwalk out of the studio.
I do have a great Pete Rose. I never met Dikembe Mutombo.
Okay.
You know, and rest in peace. And mm-hmm. again, just great humanitarian and did so much for so many people.
Oh, the voice. You would have loved
to say. You know, and Coach obviously was very, you know, instrumental in shaping that. Mm-hmm. So we honor and pay tribute and homage. But... you know, obviously getting to work with Coach for a couple of years, not that I would see him every day because I was mm-hmm. at the park a lot, but when I would see him, he was always, you know, nice and, you know, mm-hmm. And all that stuff. But you had a really close relationship, obviously. I don't have, you know, I have close relationships with athletes and coaches, but I not somebody as iconic as John Thompson, and certainly as Dikembe Mutombo and some of the guys that you have, and guys that you know blood, sweat, and teared with, and winning a Super Bowl and so on. But Pete Rose, who also passed away last night, I had a relationship to some degree with Pete. We worked very briefly for the long-defunct now Sports Fan Radio Network in Vegas.
That's right.
Which was a national network.
That's right.
And it was one of the, you know, it was before ESPN Radio went 24-7, before even Fox Sports Radio came around.
Yeah.
It was big time. We were on hundreds of stations, right?
I remember.
You know, the fabulous Sports Babe and so on and so forth.
I haven't heard her name.
Yeah.
In so long.
Yeah.
Essex, you would have loved her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You would have loved her.
Well, she was probably... she
on
was
air.
Yeah, right.
No, on air.
Yeah. She was tough to deal with in some way. She was always fine with me. But anyway, so when I got out to Las Vegas in late November of 1999, you know, Pete was doing some stuff, but it was more like as a consultant type thing. And I told this story on Twitter last night after his passing and during the Monday night game, so people may not have been paying attention, what have you, or during the dual Monday night games, which we'll get to coming up.
So glad that's over.
Oh, for now.
Yeah.
But now we have the London game coming up Sunday morning. So the NFL just continues to polarize and completely control your life.
Yeah.
So I'll never forget this story. Game one of the 2000 World Series, Mets-Yankees in New York. I mean, the city bonkers, right? I grew up a Mets fan, as I've, you know, been honest and open about. I was partnered with a guy named Brandon Tierney, who is now a midday host on our sister station in New York, WFAN, and has done unbelievable things. And he, a Yankee fan. And we're doing the show from Mandalay Bay, Racing Sportsbook.
I love it.
And we're talking, you know, World Series, college football, what have you.
It's a great location, too.
And in comes Pete Rose with a bunch of his people.
Charlie Hustle.
And we go up to him during one of the commercial breaks and like, Pete, you know, like, yeah, obviously you've done some stuff, you know, with the network, so on and so forth. Is there, like, I know you're here just to like watch, you know, the sports and whatever and do whatever it is that you do. But can you, you know, would you mind stopping by? And Pete comes in and... spends about an hour with us talking game one
baseball.
Of the World Series.
Because you were talking
his career,
baseball,
his life. You know, we didn't beat him up about the gambling and all that stuff. I mean, we mentioned the trials and tribulations, but Pete was so kind to spend, you know, again, almost an hour with us just talking on the radio about baseball and the World Series and the Subway Series and the Fall Classic and, you know, his career and, you know, all that stuff. And as we know, all-time hits leader, I mean, just everything. What was interesting, and what I didn't tell on Twitter, was during the commercial breaks, and I kind of feel bad about telling this story, but, I mean, it's not, he wasn't doing anything illegal. But Pete had, like, a little notebook, and he was tracking all of these college football games that were on the board, on the big digital board at Mandalay Bay. And if you haven't been there, I assume it's still the same. I mean, it's a huge digital board and display. I mean, he's writing down scores and overs and unders and about Montana State and, you know, schools and programs that you've never even heard
been
of.
Been on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete, like, he loved baseball. And he was Charlie Hustle to the nines, right? All-time hits leader, all that stuff. Listen, he didn't handle the whole situation right. We all know that. Right. There's no sitting here saying, oh, no, he was innocent or
he
anything
wasn't perfect.
Like that. But Doc, just could you imagine young me at that point? I'm 27, I guess, still young, sitting next to Pete Rose, the all-time hits king, an iconic name, an iconic figure.
In Vegas, yes, I
in
can.
In Vegas.
No, I can.
But doing radio during game one of the World Series. I mean, just unbelievable. And yet, all he could think about during the commercial breaks was all the bets that he had made on college football and monitoring everything in his little notebook and divvying it up and writing down little notes to himself. It was just the coolest experience, one of the coolest experiences.
We don't, in our, because you love baseball, and I do too, is that, and I grew up with Gary Templeton, and had him on, sure, on this air. And
yeah, I remember
when
that.
You grew up with him. But see, because Pete had an eye, mm-hmm, that Rod Carew, that Tony Gwynn had. There's a handful of people that are like marksmen. If they were rifle, you know, marksmen, mm-hmm, shooters, he's one in a million. The hand-eye coordination. So there's only been a handful of them. Mm-hmm. That hitting for him was one of the easiest things in the world for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so rare, like playing quarterback. Now we know how rare it is. If you stomached anything of the Miami game, it was awful to endure. It reminded me of watching our games.
Yeah.
We've been covering over the years.
Yeah.
You don't realize how deficient you have been until you get five. And all of a sudden, what Jayden's done in 1 month,
mm-hmm,
based on what we've had to endure covering this team for over a decade, and then watching the Miami game last night, dude, I couldn't wait for the 8 o'clock game to start.
Yeah.
So I could get all. It was horrible.
Brutal football.
Brutal to watch it.
I feel bad for our guy, Mike McDaniel. I mean,
I don't feel bad for him at all.
I do.
He's getting paid.
Oh, he's getting paid.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
I don't
about
feel
it.
Bad for him.
He's 1-6, I think, lifetime.
But he
in his head coaching career without Tua.
But he took the gamble,
yeah,
with a fragile product.
Yeah.
This is not the sport to invest in a fragile anything,
yeah,
because it's so physical.
Yeah.
And eventually, the shell will be broken. It's going to be attacked. So you got to count on that. So if you, they're only people dumber is Cleveland. If you give up a quality backup, you need your behind whipped. The most valuable position now is proven in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There's a half a dozen of guys, middle-aged 30 guys, killing it because now they get it. How can you not have one if you call yourself a, quote, offensive guru?
Yeah.
How do you get caught with your pants down?
Well, just on McDaniel, the guy he had, Skylar Thompson, got hurt.
You only had two?
No, he's got – well, he had three, and then they brought in Tyler Snoop-Huntley when Tua
got
hurt.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away that something as sensitive – now, we did it here for almost a decade.
Yeah.
We've been complete imbeciles at the most important position.
Yeah.
And because your buddy was so bad at his job, we were able to get the number two pick. And it has revolutionized our franchise and given us a chance.
Doc can't wait to just jab me every chance he gets.
I'm just keeping it real.
I think just to kind of sum it, you know, because we're going to obviously move into the Monday night games and then get into the Commanders. And we have Sean Syed coming on from Sumer Sports who wrote a column about why the Commanders actually could win the NFC East. And we're going to talk about Jayden Daniels and whether he's the best quarterback in the NFC, as a prominent NFL analyst said yesterday morning on ESPN. We're going to get to all of that. But I think in summarizing like this whole opening, right, we're talking and remembering kind of the lives of Dikembe Mutombo and Pete Rose and then into what it takes to be a great athlete and tough. Mm-hmm. You know, again, the word's tough.
Mm-hmm.
The word tough stands out in my mind. You know, what it takes to be a great athlete, an elite athlete, a great team, an elite team is a certain physical toughness but also a mental toughness.
Oh,
right?
It's an equal. The mental, to me, may exceed the physical.
Yeah. And I don't think that's wrong. I mean, but people, I know I dismissed it for a long time.
It's like Brady.
I don't know if that's wrong.
It's like Brady.
It might be flat out right.
Look how we slobber all over ourselves over the athletic quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the guy who looks like he could have a walker, I mean, Brady is the best.
Yeah.
The guy who we tease one quarterback for being a Charlie checkdown, yet the guy who's checked down more than anybody in the world is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Why? Because he hit the open receiver.
Yeah. Because he knows.
He takes what you give him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're so effed up in how we do. Could we jump on things and jump off things? The bottom line to it is efficiency, protection. Why have we won the month of September? Because we block our behinds off and we protect. And you got an unusual creature at that most vital position who doesn't put you in bad situations.
Yep, no doubt. We're going to dig deeper on obviously Jaden Daniels and that offensive line. Coach Sheehan had a really good observation and statistical
nugget. What he likes or what he didn't like?
No. Not that today. On my way in, driving through the rain, the Commanders offensive line. I'll share that with you coming up.
Sheehan?
We're going to wrap up the two Monday Nighters from last night, including an absolute just display of brilliance from Jared Goff, from Ben Johnson, who a lot of people were in a lather about in terms of becoming the head coach here, the Detroit Lions.
You mean the former number one pick in the NFL draft?
Yes, Jared, that Jared.
Okay, I like to hear that because he doesn't get his due for that.
Well, we're going to give,
act like you discovered him.
We're going to give him his due because there's some people that think, like, Ben Johnson just created him out of nowhere.
He didn't create a damn thing.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the Tennessee Titans stomping a mud hole on the on the Miami Dolphins, which we kind of touched on just a little bit here. And then, again, we will start making our way into Jaden Daniels and the Commanders and the offensive line. And I want to talk about the defense. I was in my glory last night, just tweeting away observation after observation about how good that defense was in the first half against the Arizona Cardinals and really overall. We'll talk about it all with you. You at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980, and we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us right here on a rainy Tuesday in the nation's capital. So we opened up the show, little thoughts on two legends that passed away, Pete Rose and Dikembe Mutombo. And Doc, just real quickly, because I don't know if we got to it, you obviously had a great and very close, tight relationship with Coach Thompson. You worked with him. You guys were friends. Yeah. Spent a lot of time together. Just on Mutombo, before we move on, how well did you know him? How much time did you, anything just besides all the, again,
well,
the humanitarian stuff?
Well, since covering him in 85 or so, so in the All-Star games, I saw him a lot.
Yeah.
Because John, he was around all his John's players were around John a lot. And we worked with him for 12 years, and like we do and used to do, you know, we were at NBA All-Star Games, so we traveled. And if you're at an NBA event, all the All-Stars are there. But he goes to his son was at Georgetown games. Mm-hmm. And so like Alonzo, those guys come back. And banquets, I've probably seen Dikembe 50, 60 times.
Yeah.
And he's just smile. And he's a gentleman. And he's nice. People are intimidated by tall people. Mm-hmm. But he's just gentle.
Yeah.
And very, very, very smart guy. And I just fell in love with the fact that, I mean, who else do you know this project is a hospital?
Yeah. What? You know what struck me when I had some time to process and think on the way home? You mentioned 58 years old baby, right?
Yeah, infant.
I mean, you know, we know people unfortunately pass away way earlier than that, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Why somebody seemingly so good of a human being, so much of a humanitarian, so much of a just a good person, despite having amazing athletic skills and making a lot of money and so on and so forth, why somebody so good has to be so unlucky, you know? And that's the part that I always struggle with when it comes to stuff.
Is to
like
make
this.
Us focus on them and make us recalibrate how we think by being that shaken by it to put us on the right track.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. Rest in peace, both Dikembe Mutombo and Pete Rose. And obviously, they're not the same individuals. We're not trying to say that they are. And we all understand Pete had many, many, many flaws, but that doesn't mean he wasn't a significantly instrumental athlete and person and figure in not only baseball, but in all of sports in the world, quite honestly.
He was just with his teammates.
Yeah.
And I don't know the cause of death. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
This week, he was with his buddies.
Yeah.
The Big Red Machine.
Yeah.
And having been in Cincinnati during that time.
Yeah.
Seeing those dudes driving Rolls Royces.
Joe Morgan,
they were big
not
ballers,
too long ago. Yeah.
And they performed. It's a close-knit group. He was just together.
Yeah.
He looked fine. He wasn't ill.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the hospital.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
We don't know.
I
mean, yeah.
We all know it could happen at any moment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, one day, we're all not going to show up to wherever we're supposed to be. So, just rest in peace to icons, if you will, of the sports world and really the world as a whole for different reasons. So last night we had, again, for a second week in a row, and it's way too much for me. I am not like everyone on Twitter that I see that just, cannot get enough football. I'm fine if we just have one Monday night game. I'm totally good if we don't have a Sunday morning game in London. Totally fine if I actually have a chance to have a life. Okay?
I like waking up to football. Because on the West Coast, you got to realize that.
Oh, it's early.
We'd see it at 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just grow up thinking that pro football started at 10 a.m.
I know.
On your way to church.
Well, now these London games, they start at 6:30 in the morning.
I know it. It's crazy, but
And that's this week. That's the Jets and the Vikings, which, we're going to get into the Vikings a little bit later on, and maybe even the Jets, too, because that's a huge game. But last night, the Dolphins-Titans game sucked. 31-12 Titans. Mm-hmm. Tajay Spears had a creative little touchdown run on a direct snap. A good design there by Brian Callahan, the former Bengal offensive coordinator, son of Bill Callahan, who's now the head coach. He's taken Bill from Cleveland, our opponent this week, and their offensive line is in shambles, to from Cleveland to Tennessee.
He's a
and Bill is starting to build that offensive
H-O-F-er.
Line and that running game. And the Titans go, and despite losing Will Levis early in that game to a shoulder injury, which, oh, by the way, may have been the best thing they could possibly happen for them.
Sad to say, but I agree.
Will Levis has been just a turnover machine, dumb decision after dumb decision. They settle things down. They get the offense. Look, Mason Rudolph is
he did his job.
9 of 17, 85 yards. Didn't make any big mistakes, what have you. And all of a sudden, the Titans just keep pulling away. I mentioned Tajay Spears with a 7-yard run. That's probably more important from a fantasy perspective. I know he helped me last night. But they also had Tony Pollard, who had a big game last night.
Hold,
you know,
time out.
The former Cowboy.
You have a fantasy team, too?
I do.
Essek, did you know that? How in the hell do you have time?
We have a show league, Doc.
How do you have time?
I'm going to update you
for
on
fantasy.
That. I'm going to update you on that a little bit later on. I'm going to tell you exactly how.
Does the infant have a fantasy team, too?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if he has time after watching the game film 28 times.
Does the whale have a fantasy team,
I'm not sure.
I can't speak on that. I don't know if he does or doesn't.
I know he's got a lot of fantasies. I don't know
he's got a lot of fantasies. Yeah. Well, he's such an important person.
Right.
Yeah.
So 31-12, the final score. And let's just say this. The Dolphins are obviously in a world of hurt. Now, there is an update on Tua Tagovailoa, which I will offer in just a couple of moments on the trending alert from Adam Schefter. The Dolphins are 1-3. The Titans are 1-3 as well. Again, that game had very little juice, and you mentioned you were just waiting for the Lions.
I couldn't wait.
And the Seahawks to start.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. The Lions were tremendously impressive on offense last night. Obviously, duh, they scored 42 points.
Mm-hmm.
They got 7 of those points off of a defensive turnover by DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
That was their second touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs 1-yard run. Listen, I've been hard on Ben Johnson, not because I don't think he's a good coach.
Oh, he's good.
Because I am absolutely just mystified when people run around because of fantasy numbers and analytics and just like give sole credit to one individual, like they created everything. But I will tell you this, the Lions are fun to watch. They're physical, they're mean, they're nasty, they're tough, and they're creative. Did you see that touchdown catch to Jared Goff?
They have the whole, and that's why I like him, but he also gets the chance to work with the first player picked in the draft.
Yes.
So if I'm a teacher and I've got Essek in my class.
Yeah.
I mean, he is off the chart. He is, and he's a brainiac. He's sitting in the first row of my class. Am I really a great teacher or is he just special? So everybody's giving this guy, claps, and I'm going, it's Jared Goff. Yeah. The first player taken in the draft. Slow down, Slim.
You know, I want to follow up on that part of it because I got myself into a little bit of Twitter, exchange last night, which shouldn't surprise you.
No,
but I want to point something out to you.
You're getting ready for Windbag Wednesday.
I know, but you just set me up perfectly because of something that happened last night during the game. So I want to get to that after the quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Your call is still to come. All right, so that news on Tua Tagovailoa. Adam Schefter this morning on ESPN Radio said he and others that he's talked to expect Tua Tagovailoa to indeed make a comeback and to be back sooner than later. Now, he, of course, is on the injury list. Got to miss two more games, does Tagovailoa. But there's a chance, and maybe even a good chance, that Tagovailoa could be back in just a couple of weeks for Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. He's 1-6, McDaniel, as Dolphins head coach without Tua, and certainly the Dolphins, as we just mentioned, at 1-3, need all the help they can get. Lions moving on to 3-1. Jared Goff with an all-time performance, perfect as a passer, and even caught a touchdown pass. Meanwhile, the Commanders, with the day off today, they'll get at it tomorrow afternoon at Command Land in Ashburn for the Cleveland Browns, who come in at 1-3, and all sorts of questions about Deshaun Watson. Today, the baseball playoffs open up officially. 2:30, first up, less than an hour from now, it'll be the Detroit Tigers and the Houston Astros in H-Town. Coming up a little bit later on, right after our show concludes, it's the Kansas City Royals at Camden Yards, if the rain holds out, against the Baltimore Orioles. 5:30, the Mets and the Milwaukee Brewers, and late night tonight, or not late night, evening time tonight out on the West Coast at Petco Park. It's the Atlanta Braves and the San Diego Padres again at 8:30, and that's what's trending. Oh, there's always reality. Like an 0-16 reality.
Well, if you can't follow rules, you can't play in the game. It's like,
I mean, that's generally how society works, right?
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
If you cheat, they don't allow you in the club.
That's a good point, Doc.
You know, if we don't have rules, we can't play the games. All these games have rules.
So what you're saying is if there's a certain set of guidelines and rules and somebody breaks them or turns in an assignment late, they should not be given credit for that assignment because they were significantly late and broke essentially
exactly.
The established
unless
rules.
They have a mental disability.
Mm-hmm.
If that, all bets are off.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then I don't know why we would treat them like they do.
Well, so here's what I would say. We're not naming any names.
No,
we're not giving
no,
any
no,
specifics.
No, 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 no. It's hypothetical.
What we would like from you guys on the phones
we
and or
help.
On Twitter
and
the X, at WrestleMania621, Doc is at Rick Doc Walker, Matt is at Mr_Me93, the radio station at Team 980. Or 301-230-0980. If your boss, if your place of employment has a deadline and you turn in your assignment, whatever it might be,
right,
and whatever the circumstances might be, 2.5 days late, should you be given credit for that? And is that the same as someone who turned it in on time? So we just want your general,
and we'll go with whatever the
opinion.
People say, right?
Well,
right?
We are a show of the people.
Whatever the people, that's
so
right, for the people.
We want to make this a fair democratic process.
Because he's going to whine like a pig going
well,
to slaughter.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Well,
so when you say he, I, you know, I don't know.
It is going to whine like a pig.
We just want to know, like, do deadlines matter?
Right, okay,
like,
good.
If you, that's the simplest way we can ask the question.
Matter.
Does a deadline matter?
Okay.
In your
sure.
world?
I think that's
or
fair.
Or can you just abuse it and run through it?
Right.
301-230-0980. A couple of quick thoughts on the Lions. I mean, obviously, the creative trick play with the fake handoff, dual handoff, and then the throwback to Jared Goff. Seattle was completely lost, confused. Mike McDonald's defense, not very impressive last night, despite the fact that they were missing, I think, four starters in their front seven.
That's what made them a little bit impressive to me.
Okay.
In other words, first-year coach.
Yeah.
First time ever as a head coach.
Yep.
They hung in.
I understand.
They looked professional. They looked a lot better than some of the teams that we put on the field
here. I think they hung in because of their offense, not because of their defense.
No, but on the last 4 years, at least I was impressed by – that's the first time this guy's ever been a head coach.
That's fair.
And I'm looking out there knowing he's shorthanded.
That's fair.
Going against the team that was in the NFC championship round. Not bad.
That's fair. So here's what I wanted to bring up, right? Now, Jared Goff apparently did not get a game ball from Dan Campbell last night for whatever it's worth. Yeah. He was only 18 of 18, right?
Yeah.
Again, it hasn't been done since 2012 where a quarterback has thrown a perfect game, right? I mean, Jaden, we know, has come pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the only quarterback to throw more than one pass and complete it and catch a touchdown pass in the same game. You would have thought that would have been done more than once. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Okay. All the different records. Kurt Warner apparently was the previous NFL record holder for passes without an incompletion, 10 for 10 against for Arizona against Houston in 2005. We'll just get past some of the superlatives. Jared Goff was great. You mentioned the number one overall pick. So last night on Twitter, they were on the game broadcast. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman showed Brad Holmes, the general manager of the Detroit Lions, who came from Los Angeles, the Rams, and so therefore he had a lot of familiarity with Goff, obviously. But that dude has not been given anywhere near the credit, not that he's looking for it, that Ben Johnson has been given, the offensive coordinator, Boy Wonder Ben, as I like to call him. As Dan Campbell, the head coach, who's the front face, I mean, everybody sees him, everybody hears from him, what have you. As Jared Goff, the quarterback, Amon-Ra St. Brown, so on and so forth. Brad Holmes, starting with the Jared Goff decision to trade Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff when I thought, what the hell is he doing? What in the world is he doing taking on a four-year, $120 million contract in Jared Goff when Sean McVay was like, nah, not for me, dog. And obviously upgraded, we all understand that, but it was almost like Jared Goff wasn't good enough to play. In the Brad Holmes, the general manager of the Lions, deserves so much credit for Jared Goff and that trade. Building that Penei Sewell, Jahmyr Gibbs. Remember, people scoffed at Brad Holmes, and they thought he was crazy for taking Jahmyr Gibbs, number 12 overall.
That's right.
Crazy for taking Jack Campbell, the linebacker out of Iowa, at 18 overall in that draft 2 years ago. And Jack Campbell, by the way, forced a fumble last night in the turnover.
And they don't miss games.
And they don't miss games, and they're tough, and they're physical, and they're creative.
And their training camp is damn near full contact.
Yes, very intense, all that stuff. Listen, the Lions were not that impressive until last night.
And they were worse than our franchise has been.
Yes, but they were not that impressive until last night. And now we'll see what happens the rest of the way. They were very impressive last night. Maybe not as much defensively, but again, that happens from time to time.
Geno is a bad man.
He's a bad man.
Bad dude.
DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I mean, Jackson Smith and
Seahawks,
Higman, they've got some weapons.
Seahawks, just because we don't see him a lot. Talk about him a lot.
And McDonald to make that defense a lot better. Again, they were missing three or four starters last night in their front seven, including Leonard Williams, a name that people, you know, kind of know about here because he was with the Giants, so on and so forth. But here's my question for you, Doc. I mean, I'm not trying to hurt Ben Johnson. I'm not trying to take away credit from him, but people instantly react to, because I said the play caller gets all the credit, but Brad Holmes deserves a lot of the credit too. A guy we used to work with here who I know and I've worked with and I like and whatever, and we think differently, Brendan Dorn, who's now at SiriusXM, got all over my ass last night because I had the audacity to say, hey, man, Ben Johnson gets all the credit. How about we shine the light a little bit on Brad Holmes, the guy who brought all this talent to Detroit, who reshaped this roster as a first-time general manager. And the connection that I started thinking was, Jaden Daniels is getting all the credit, and he should. Cliff Kingsbury is getting a lot of credit, and he should. Offensive line should be get, and he should. Dan Quinn is getting no credit, but he should. Adam Peters, man. If Adam Peters is anywhere close to Brad Holmes and what Brad Holmes has been able to do for the Detroit Lions, oh my God, Doc. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We finally have it.
Yeah,
if he's anywhere close.
Because you have a quarterback.
Yes, but if he, but we don't know what's going to happen. But as a roster builder and as an evaluator, if he's anywhere close to what that guy is in Detroit,
we're in good shape.
We are so in good shape.
Because we were Detroit.
Yes.
That's what people don't want to accept.
And we might have been worse than Detroit.
Exactly. We could have been worse than Detroit. Yeah. But these guys end up being the oven. And I don't care how good a baker you are, without an oven that works, you get no results. We're on that same track. Looking at the track, when we go out and they thought we needed a receiver. That's why I always kid a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a receiver, 7-11. They knew where they were. Everybody they bring here, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And McCaffrey, I'll take this dude. The people that did the due diligence, everybody, oh, his brother, they ain't got a damn thing to do with his brother. This kid can play.
Luke McCaffrey, by the way, I'm told is tentatively scheduled to join us tomorrow afternoon around 3:30. So
now you're gonna with. Wednesday.
I tried to get it done today, Doc, just for you, but
God.
You know, I got to kind of go by their schedule. Either way, the point that I wanted to make is, yes, Ben Johnson deserves a lot of credit.
He's a good coach.
People will be slobbering all over him. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything about that. My only point was building a football organization and a winning team and a great offense and an exciting team and a team capable of being a whisker away from the Super Bowl takes much more than just the quarterback, takes much more than just the head coach, mm-hmm. takes much more than just the offensive coordinator calling fancy snazzy plays.
Mm-hmm.
It takes an army, literally. Mm-hmm. And it starts at the top. Yes, ownership and all that's sure. But it takes mm-hmm. the guy who's running the personnel, who's procuring the talent. That's why I thought, and I think you and I discussed this at one point, Adam Peters' hire was so much more important, no offense to Dan Quinn, Dan Quinn's hire. Because Adam Peters hired Dan Quinn, but Adam Peters is the guy that procures all the talent.
Yeah, it's Bobby Bethard. It's knowing what Bobby brought to the table
mm-hmm.
that secured Joe Gibbs. Because they trusted. The other way, they go, Joe who?
Yeah.
No, Bobby Bethard at the door. That's all you need. These layers. And the other thing, part of success building, is when your number one receiver is one of the last guys to leave the field because he's on the jug machine and the weight room, a la Terry McClure.
Yeah.
It changes the personality of your team. There's no bitch. They block. What do? That we do? We got a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Lions. They're ahead of us,
mm-hmm.
but I like the track because I see us on a similar path.
So do I. And that's,
and you want
and
that.
And listen, Jaden is more dynamic than Jared Goff, but mm-hmm. but it's okay. You can be different
styles
and and still be really good.
Different.
And obviously, everybody's going to track it to the quarterback. And, mm-hmm. and this is just mm-hmm. what's exciting about this. And again, it's early. They're 3-1. What's exciting about this mm-hmm. is they're ahead of the curve right now.
Mm-hmm.
They still have a ways to go.
Oh, yeah.
But you can see the lights are all on, baby. No matter where this ends up, mm-hmm. the lights are all on. And I think it took a lot longer in Detroit for the lights to come all on.
Oh, no question.
So you can see the lights are already on here.
This is in one.
Yeah, yeah. Not even.
This is frightening.
Yeah.
We're in 1 month.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're in 1 month of with this group, and in all fairness, it started last year with the ownership group.
Yeah,
you know, because you have to. It's like buying a new property.
Yep,
they came in and it's so much worse than they ever thought.
Yeah.
When they bought it, but no problem. They didn't run.
Yeah,
they ran in deeper.
You evaluate and then you make decisions
Fumigate.
That allow these type of things to happen. All right, we got to take a timeout. 1:50. We will get to your calls as soon as we can. We got Sean Syed from Sumer Sports coming up in about 10 or 11 minutes.
When are we voting on this topic? Is this a thumbs up or thumbs down?
I want the easiest way for people to vote is on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
At WrestleMania621, at Rick Doc Walker, at Team 980.
Let me check,
You know, all that. So
we need to end this
again,
because.
Do deadlines matter? If deadlines matter or don't matter in your life, job, work, whatever, family, all that, do deadlines matter? Are they important? Yes or no? That's what we want to know generically. Nobody specific, nothing specific in any way, shape, or form. We're asking, do deadlines matter on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Maddie's put out a poll on his Twitter, at Mr_Me93. I just voted on it and retweeted it on mine. And it says, just a question, if you have a deadline for a project, do you turn it in? Do you turn in the project 2.5 days later? And he says, wondering for me, Doc, and himself. And the options were, sure, what could go wrong? Or number two, too late, sorry. Or option number three, Doc, I think you might vote for this one. I'm the Messiah, I do me. That's a creative little option there.
I am the Messiah.
Well, I don't know about that.
I am the leader of the new school. I am the one...
Wait, what was that again?
I am the Messiah, huh? Chris Russell.
I don't know. Wait a second.
I heard that. I think that was on Throwback Thursday. That wasn't Winback Wednesday. That was Throwback Thursday.
I think so. Throw Down Thursday.
Throw Down.
Yeah, not
Throwback. Throw Down. Yeah,
come on, Doc. Get it right.
I'm sorry. I'm a huge fan.
Sean Syed of Sumersports.com wrote a column, Can the Commanders and Why the Commanders can win the NFC East? We're going to have him on just after 2 o'clock. We're going to discuss, obviously, with you after that. But let's grab a call or two real quickly here before the top of the hour. Let's get to Lou straight up here on the Team 980. What up, Lou?
Hey, Lou.
Lou. I don't hear him. All right, we're going to put him on hold and see if we can get to Bones, who's always mad at me on Twitter. What's up, K-9. Bones?
Hey.
Bones.
Shout out to my man, Matty Ice. Shout out to Rooster. Shout out to Doc. Shout out to G from the shop. Shout out to Paulie. Somehow, some
I mean, you
want
to give
way,
shout
man.
Out to the entire nation here or what?
Yeah. I like to send my deepest condolences, man, to the family of Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, and my main man, Dikembe Mutombo, one of the most fierce defensive centers in the league, you know what I'm saying, behind Bill Russell. Man, somehow, some kind of way, man, the Rooster, man, you always figure out how to, you know, avoid what this town been starving to talk about for 25 years, man. You know, I understand you got an agenda that you need to follow, right? But right now, we hot on this Jaden Daniels and the 3-1 and who we going to face when we come up against Cleveland right now. Well, this town is starving, man, to get on the airways, man, and exemplify, man, the joy and the excitement that we have right now, man, like we had the last time in 1991. I'm saying, man, we amped up, you know. We are very, very amped up. Now, if you fail to do the assignment, and who should be getting credit for the assignment right now, I give a credit to Cliff Kingsbury. And whoever coaching that offensive line, them tackles, I give credit to them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I give credit to the special teams coach.
Yeah.
You know,
That's not the question.
But I'm
hey,
saying
this Bones, before I let you go, because I got to let you go, do deadlines matter? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah, deadlines always matter, man, when it comes to doing an assignment, man.
All right, there you go. Most thank you, Bones. Definitely. Appreciate you. Bones is so busy making fun of me and criticizing me for not letting callers, the same callers every day on the air that I let all the time, that I give way too much time to. He's so busy criticizing me for that, he lost track of the assignment and the question. Hey, he's giving credit. I mean, he's giving shout outs to, like, the governor of Montana, and not worried about, like, what we're actually talking about. I don't even know what we were actually talking about. Can the Commanders win the NFC East? That's what Sean Syed wrote about for Sooner Sports. I think that's a question on a lot of people's mind. We will examine it next with Sean, and then after that with you at 301-230-0980. Hour number two, straight ahead with the DOC on a Tuesday in the nation's capital and beyond on the always live and free Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.